joined by Betty Henderson of SSRIStories.com. How are you tonight, Betty? Do we have her yet? Oh, are you there?
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Can you hear me?
They just had to hit a button. I'm sorry about that.
Oh, okay.
Why don't you tell people what you dedicate the website to and how you got involved in the subject matter?
Well, SSRIStories.com deals with the Prozac type drugs. You know, Prozac, Paxil, Zoloft, Celexa, Luvox, Lexapro. There's a bunch of them. They're called the Prozac type drugs. They're SSRI, selective serotonin reuptake inhibitors, and they're antidepressants. And very millions of people are on them. And they're causing a lot of problems for many people. Now, first of all, I want to say if you're taking one of these and you think you're doing okay, then don't ever go off of it. I mean, you know, in the sense that withdrawal is often more dangerous than staying on the medication. It can cause withdrawal, meaning you could go into some kind of suicide or homicidal action, you know, so you have to be very cautious about that. But we just knew too many people that were injured by these drugs, and so I decided to start this website. And it consists of 3,121 cases that were reported in the media. These aren't personal stories. That were reported in newspapers and occasionally journal articles about people who did something terrible on an SSRI, usually violence or a suicide or some kind of criminal activity like arson or that kind of different thing.
Before we get into those stories, why don't you tell people, explain to people, what is a reuptake inhibitor?
Well, what it does is there's a neurotransmitter in the brain called serotonin, and the Prozac drug-type drug will stop the uptake of serotonin into the synapse so that there's consequently more serotonin floating around in the brain. So that's how it inhibits it. That's the way it works.
Now, as I understand it, drugs like Prozac and whatnot, their main ingredient is fluoride. Is that true?
Well, yes. I don't know if it's their main ingredient, but it's a big part of their ingredient. Yes.
That's just unbelievable to me that they put fluoride in antidepressants, and then they also put it in the water supply and the toothpaste, in now, I mean, tons of food products. I think this is kind of getting out of control, in my opinion. What are some of these horror stories? I mean, you said 3,121 cases. I know we've covered at least, you know, three dozen of them on this program alone in the past 3 or 4 months. But what do you think some of the more drastic cases? Yeah, a lot of it's still classified to this day. People don't understand that the records aren't out there. And the mainstream media, and I think it was just the 10th anniversary, really tried to gloss over a lot of the things that had come out in the past and said that they weren't really depressed and they weren't really taking these drugs. I saw it in USA Today.
Well, no. Eric Harris was taking the drug, and it was known that he was taking the drug. I don't know why USA Today said that, but it was, you know, untrue. What happened to Eric Harris was he started taking Zoloft, which is an SSRI antidepressant, and he didn't feel well on it. So he went to the doctor, and the doctor took him off of it. And he came back 3 or 4 weeks later. This is in the Denver Post, by the way. This was in the Denver Post, November 5th, 2002. Okay, so I mean, the article is up there. Of course, also it's an SSRI story, and you can read it, go into the index, and it's about the 6th story down. And so he started him on the SSRI Luvox. The doctor started Eric Harris on Luvox. And three experts, MDs, testified that it was a sign that Eric Harris was, and I have to explain all this some other time in a little bit, was bipolar instead of depressed. And so that's why he felt better when he went off the Zoloft and why he became such a maniac when he got on the Luvox. So, I mean, I know there was a book that was saying he was a psychopath and all that, but this really wasn't true.
So, Betty, could you just speak up? I'm having a trouble
hearing. Oh, are you having trouble hearing me?
Yeah, just a little bit.
Yes, I will speak up. Okay, I'm sorry.
That's okay. So you're telling me that Eric Harris was not depressed. He had bipolar disorder.
Well, that's what they call it. But see, here's the thing. What they're doing is they're giving all these people antidepressants. And then when they go insane on the drugs, instead of taking them off the drugs and saying you had a bad reaction to the drug, you know, to the SSRI.
Yes.
No, instead they're saying, oh, you were bipolar. we made a mistake. We thought you were depressed. You were bipolar. Well, see, I don't know how old you are, but 25 years ago, bipolar illness, which is also known as manic depression, mm-hmm. was an extremely rare illness. Less than 1% of the population had it. Today, because of the SSRIs and everybody taking them, massive amounts, 30 to 40, 50 million people in the United States have taken them, we have close to 6% of the population now diagnosed as either bipolar 1, manic depressive 1, or bipolar 2, and now they might even add bipolar 3. We have all these people diagnosed with post-traumatic stress disorder. They took like Prozac or Zoloft or Cymbalta or Lexapro, mm-hmm. and they got worse. And so people were saying, well, they went through the war. You know, they were soldiers, so they have post-traumatic stress disorder. And so it's just making the situation worse. What I mean is it's really kind of a national tragedy of immense proportions in the sense that we never had school shootings before. We have a lot of workplace violence. I don't know if you remember Michael McDermott's Edgewater Technology, where he went in and shot 7 people dead.
Yeah, I do remember that.
Okay, he was on a triple dose of Prozac.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, you know what I've noticed is they're saying
Lockheed
that the pills don't work.
Remember when Lockheed Martin lost 6 people in the workplace violence?
No, I missed that one.
Okay, he was on Zoloft, that fella. And
well,
I've
noticed they want to, now instead of saying, oh, we did something wrong, they actually want to put people on more drugs. I've seen commercials for this drug called Abilify. If you're on, I think, Zoloft or Lexapro or Paxil.
Yeah, now Abilify is an antipsychotic, and let me explain what this is all about.
Okay.
Okay, they invented antipsychotics. The first one was called Thorazine, you know, back in the mm-hmm. 50s.
Yep.
And those were the older antipsychotics. Okay, then they came out with a new antipsychotic in about 1991 or 2. And these antipsychotics were different, and then they're half antidepressant and half antipsychotic. So it's just a real tragic. But anyway, the fact that they're half antidepressant means that the manufacturers of these new antipsychotics want to also advertise them as being an antidepressant. So they are trying to get approval from the FDA for it. You know, like Abilify is what they call an add-on. In other words, the ad mm-hmm. will say, well, if your antidepressant isn't working or isn't doing what you want it to do, add on Abilify, you know. Of course, what the people don't know is that they're taking an antipsychotic, which is actually a very powerful drug that can cause, you know, diabetes and weight gain and all kinds of. So anyway, so then they take a mood stabilizer and an antipsychotic, and use their benzodiazepine, and they stay on their antidepressant. They end up in 5, 6, 7 drugs, mm-hmm. which, you know, is going to shorten your life. You can't stay on that many drugs, especially if you start out when you're young.
It eats away your organs, doesn't it? I mean, I've heard people having, like, liver problems or kidney problems if they're on too many drugs. Is that true?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I mean,
you know that the average, I hate to say this because I don't want people to get worried, mm-hmm. but are you there?
Yeah, we're here.
Oh, okay. I can hear some music in the background.
Yeah. Well, we'll talk about it on the other side. We only got about 10 seconds left in this segment. But let's talk about some of those things. I mean, liver damage, kidney damage, shortened lifespan. Is that what you really want? Do you want to get on these drugs? The Info Warrior with Jason Henderson of SSRIStories.com. And we were talking about the long-term side effects of the serotonin reuptake inhibitors. Forget about, you know, the fact that you might go psychopathic or sociopathic or just go insane, do something violent, commit one of those acts. If you're able to get over that, what are some of the long-term side effects of these drugs?
Well, the SSRIs themselves are, of course, they cause hypertension. That's just as frequent, you know, and the physician's best reference. Mm-hmm. So, of course, when you have high blood pressure, you're not going to, you know, do quite as well. They also can cause hemorrhages in your body, which is not good, of course, just bleeding. And then they can cause heart attacks. That is listed as infrequent, but still it's not listed as rare, heart attacks. People that take antidepressants, they don't live as long. I mean, it's beginning to come out. Especially, usually after they can't take an antidepressant too long because everybody gets so agitated. most people do, you know, maybe 2 out of 5 get agitated. So then they start going on benzodiazepines, and maybe that doesn't work, and so then they get on the antipsychotics, and then they get, so pretty soon they're on 5 or 6 drugs, and then I guess people say they're mentally ill or something, and the next thing you know, their lifespan is 15 to 25 years less than the ordinary American.
15 to 25 years left for taking a cocktail of drugs for a few years.
Well, the problem is you can't get off of them. I mean, see, this is what I want to emphasize, is that this withdrawal is extremely difficult and extremely dangerous. Mm-hmm. There's people who've been on them who just, you know, 5 and 6 years back. They're on maybe 6 drugs. And I know a woman who was on 6 drugs, and it took her 6 years to get off of them. But she had to do it that way because when she stopped abruptly, she had convulsions and seizures. And, I mean, it's just, you know, unbelievable.
So this is really likening to somebody who, say, a heroin addict trying to kick the habit.
That probably works.
Wow.
Yeah,
what do you think? What are reported some of the really hardcore drugs that are very tough to get off of?
Well, they're all the SSRIs are hard to get off of, you know. And Paxil and Effexor seem to be the worst as far as the withdrawal, but they all have bad withdrawal syndrome. And if you're going to try to get off of it, in our cover page it says to go off over a period of a year or longer. And do this under the supervision of a qualified specialist. This is find a doctor who understands withdrawal, who can help you get off. See, a lot of times people say, oh, I'm going to take in my Prozac, and then, you know, like a week later or whatever, 2 weeks later, they feel terrible, and they go to the doctor, and he says, well, that's your depression. You know, of course, the problem is sometimes they didn't start with depression, you know. And mm-hmm. Like we had a 15-year-old girl who was given Zoloft for warts, and she killed herself, you know. But of course, there's a black box warning for those 24 years old and under for suicidality. But, okay, what was your question?
Well, we were just talking about, you know, the horrible side effects and how hard they were to kick. And then we were talking about which ones were the toughest to kick. And you said that Paxil seemed to be the worst to kick. And then you started to get into the fact that, you know, a lot of people are committing suicide while they're trying to kick these drugs. My question to you is, you know, as people are kicking these drugs, why are we even giving kids these drugs in the first place? You said a 15-year-old girl. I mean, I would say that's ill-advised to give a 15-year-old girl something with a black box warning that says suicide possible.
Yes, I know. This is what I don't understand. What's happened to the physicians in our country? Why they're giving out so many medications, but all of America is so over-medicated. It's just unbelievable.
I
can understand a medication when you're really sick and you really need it, but people are walking around over the age of 65, and half the people are on 7 or more drugs. Well, once you're on 3 drugs, they say there's a 90% chance that 2 of them are interacting with each other.
Well, it's a $1 billion business. I mean, I would say probably reaching into the trillions almost at this point. And, you know,
and of course the advertising, you know, with the media, I mean, this is why, you know, people, they're feeding down the blue or whatever, and they see an ad, they'll say, oh, this will pick you up. So they go to the doctor, and they get one of those, and then it gives them agitation. So they go back to the doctor, and he gives them a benzodiazepine or Boost Bar or something, and so they've got another drug for the agitation. You know, it just adds one drug after the other.
In your opinion, what do you think the most hardcore of these serotonin reuptake inhibitors are? In other words, which one do you see the most problems with? Which one do you see the most mainstream news stories that people go off the handle?
Well, of course, Prozac, because it's been out the longest, you know. Mm-hmm. I mean, when you go into SSRI stories, a lot of the, especially the early cases, are Prozac, because it was the first one and it was out there for a long time. Then the next would be like Zoloft came out next, and then Paxil. So they're all bad.
So it's almost like it's just based on, you know, how long they've been around, because they all seem to have the same effects. We'll be back after this, and we were discussing really which of these serotonin reuptake inhibitors were the worst. But she just replied, well, they're all really bad, and the only reason that one gets more play than the other is because it's been around longer. Why are we drugging our children with these? What's the youngest case you've seen of a tragedy when someone was put on an antidepressant?
Oh, let's see. I think there was a 7-year-old boy just recently. He was on a combination of Prozac and Zyprexa. He killed him. He hung himself in Florida.
A 7-year-old hung himself?
7-year-old, yes.
That is unbelievable to me. I mean,
consider that the FDA put a black box warning for suicidality for children in 2004.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, what are the physicians thinking?
Well, they're thinking about profits. Aren't these guys mostly paid off? Don't they get more money every time they get you to get on a drug? Isn't that what this is all about, money?
Oh, yeah, it's all about greed, of course.
I mean, how do they live with themselves when you're a doctor and you're prescribing a 7-year-old a serotonin reuptake inhibitor, and he takes his own life. I mean, he's a seven-year-old. He's not supposed to be perfect. Well, what are the parents thinking?
This child did happen to be in foster care.
Mm-hmm.
But
even worse.
I don't know. Here in Texas, 68% of the children in foster care are either on antidepressants, antipsychotics, or, you know, one of those.
Now, who provides the funding for that? Is that taxpayer dollars, basically?
Yeah, there's a big argument going on in Texas about that right now because it's taxpayer dollars. But the poor little children.
Yeah, exactly. It feels like they're an experiment for these people to, again, profit on their misery. 68%.
They're kind of a guinea pig, I'll tell you. I don't know why people don't do more research on what's going on with these. But who would fund this? Who can fund research on why these drugs are causing people to kill?
Mm-hmm. Who's going to give you access to that? I mean, you'd have to do independent research, and that you're talking multi-millions, tens of millions of dollars.
Right.
And it doesn't seem to be in the best interest of these big corporate entities. I mean, you see these commercials on all the major networks all the time, whether it be during your favorite sitcom or the evening news, sports. They're all over the place. They seem like they're literally as frequent as, you know, fashion commercials, clothing commercials, car commercials, and now it's drug commercials.
They're all over. And this is on the cover page of SSRI Stories. The Journal of American Physicians and Surgeons had an article by Joel Kaufman, Ph.D. He's a professor of chemistry emeritus at the University of Sciences in Philadelphia. And here's what he said about SSRI Stories. He says, since no clinical trial involving multiple homicides is ever likely to be run, no firmer evidence than SSRI Stories is ever likely to be found.
That's unbelievable. I mean, so you can have 3,000-plus articles where these adverse effects are apparent to anybody with half a brain, but your evidence isn't good enough.
I think that we need some kind of epidemiological studies on these 3,120 cases, you know? Mm-hmm. Maybe some graduate student could do a PhD on it or something, find out what's going on. I see a pattern here. The pattern I see a lot is people become, their thinking becomes so abnormal, they begin to believe like things like they go to the doctor because they have stress or they're, you know, not feeling good or something sad happened, like their mother just died or something, and you know that they're not feeling good. And then after they get on the SSRI, they start thinking that they're terminally ill. So they kill themselves.
There was
a case one time of a woman who thought of her whole family, her husband and two kids and herself, that they were all terminally ill. So in the middle of the night, she got up and she went through the house and she shot everyone dead and shot herself dead. Left it in a suicide note.
Just incredible. And I think one of the reasons that you're seeing this more pervasive in society is because it's the why me society. Everybody's always crying. Listen. Not every day of your life is going to be, you know, roses, sunshine, and happiness. There are going to be rough times, and people are so quick to go and see a doctor. Oh, I haven't felt good this week, or I really feel bad. I can't put my life together.
There was a study out of Duke University replicated in Southwestern Medical Center in Dallas that showed that if you exercised 30 to 35 minutes, 3 to 4 times a week, you did better than the people in Zoloft. In fact, after a year, if you kept this up, you were less likely to relapse into sadness and more likely to feel better. Now, of course, who knows about that? I mean, why would anybody promote exercise? Who's going to, you know, pay for that? Who's going to advertise on the TV, hey, get out there and exercise? You know?
And most people want the easy fix anyway. They don't understand that a lot of it is their own self-image. They don't feel good about themselves because they're not healthy. They're not getting enough exercise. They're not eating right. They're not getting enough sunlight. Some of the basic things out there to stay, you know, happy, to stay, you know, healthy. Instead, they want this quick fix because the TV told them if they take a pill, they're going to do much better. But it just blows my mind when the commercial is 45 seconds, and the first 15 seconds is advertising the drug, but then the next 25 seconds is all the adverse side effects, so they can wrap it up in the last 5 seconds where you can buy it, and people buy it.
Oh, yeah, they do, and I don't really understand why they're not that concerned about the side effects, but people do trust their physicians, and I think the physicians have been kind of fooled by the pharmaceutical companies. So many of those stories that have been written about the glories of Prozac were ghostwritten by the pharmaceutical company themselves, and the clinical trials are really kind of a travesty. I mean, it's really sad. We never had people getting on so many drugs. feel like these SSRIs because, okay, women between the ages of 20 and 44, 16% of the women in this country are on these drugs, on these SSRIs. Because that's one out of, about 17 people or something. 16%, that's about one out of seven.
Yeah, no, it's almost hip and trendy to be on these drugs. I mean, I remember back being in college and, you know, people would be on these drugs or they wouldn't be on the drugs, but they'd want to purchase them from kids that were on them so they could get a Zoloft or a Paxil and or Ritalin. I'd see all of this kind of craziness around me, and it's almost like they're glamorized. You know, one of the other things that is over at your website right now is an article that says as many as half of men taking antidepressant medication, paroxetine, may have increased sperm DNA fragmentation. What does that exactly mean? Does that mean that, you know, my
right,
child has...
Right, that's a man who takes... Well, that's Paxil, but this includes all the SSRIs. If you read the full article,
mm-hmm.
There's 58 journal articles up there. Men who take SSRIs are less fertile, about half the fertility rate. You know, it does something. It fragments their sperm.
Now, does this also increase the chance that, you know, there might be an abnormality with the pregnancy?
Yes, especially for the women that take it, that the fetus can, you know, there's lawsuits going on about the fetus of a woman who took an SSRI during pregnancy, that they had a higher rate of birth defects and so forth and so on, you know.
What kind of those defects are common with these types of drugs?
What kind of birth defects?
Yeah,
well,
yeah, what are the common
heart,
ones?
It seems like the heart is affected a lot of the fetus.
So they'll have an irregular heart rate, or it won't be as strong, or it'll be abnormally small, things like that.
Right.
And those are those are lifelong.
They are life-threatening, and many of these babies have either had to have, you know, surgery, or if they died.
Mm-hmm. So, and even if they live, aren't their lifespans really shortened?
Well, of course, we don't know yet, because not that many years have passed, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But they do know from looking at the drugs starting from the 50s that the people who have been taking these drugs, their lifespan shortened. Yes.
Where do you think the turning point for the industry was? Do you think it was really, you know, the mid-90s? That's when they really started advertising on television?
I think it was about 1991 when Newsweek and Time and them had a Prozac capsule on the cover calling it a miracle drug. And they advertised it kind of like it was for people who were not just deeply depressed and in the hospital, but people who were stressed and who had normal everyday sadness. And they said things like, it will make you better than well. Peter Kramer wrote a book called something about listening to Prozac. And he said that, you know, you would feel better than well. And it's just, and so everybody started taking that. I mean, who doesn't want to feel better than well, you know?
So Prozac really was the leader in this.
Well, that's why all the other companies jumped in, because Prozac was making the billions for Eli Lilly.
Mm-hmm.
So then Pfizer got in with Zoloft. You know, and then GlaxoSmithKline got in with Paxil, and so on. So then each company, Wyeth got in with Effexor, that was the drug Andrea Yates was taking at the very over the highest dose maximum. It made her psychotic.
Well, and we see this time and time and time again. Aren't there a lot of conflicts of interest out there as well? I mean, we talk about these doctors who prescribe it. Aren't these guys also invested in these companies? They show up at these conferences. It's about making profits.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Quite a few of them. In fact, some doctor at Emory University was just released, you know, I think he was a 10-year doctor and he was kicked out because he'd accepted, I don't know how much, $300,000 or $400,000, you know, to fudge something in that.
So he's literally on the take. He's not even just invested in the company. He's taking kickbacks from the company to prescribe this to other people.
Right.
Wow.
Yeah.
And why aren't these stories, you know, on the mainstream media? Why aren't they in the news?
The mainstream media is being sponsored by the pharmaceutical companies. I mean, that's one of their main sources of revenue.
Mm-hmm.
The mainstream media is having trouble surviving.
That's very
and
true.
And so they need the money from the drug companies. Also, too, they're influenced by the physicians. And
you know,
there's another thing. A woman say that she's taking a Prozac, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And she's acting goofy at home. She's threatening to divorce her husband. And just her whole personality has changed. And she goes to the doctor, and he says, how do you feel on the Prozac? And she said, I feel great. I feel wonderful. You know, because it gives you kind of like an exuberant energy, but at the same time, you become very hostile, and you become very impulsive. And a complete personality change.
Why don't you think more adults are self-aware about this?
Are self-aware?
Yeah, why do you think it is that somebody gets on a pill and, like you said, they go and they, because they feel this euphoria at points, they go and they tell their doctor that everything is great. Why aren't they more self-aware that their personality is literally changing in front of their eyes?
That is the main mystery about these drugs. Early on, I was in the Prozac Survivor Support Group, and everybody who ruined their life and then called the Prozac group afterwards, they said, we had no idea the drug was doing it. It's very subtle. Very subtle. You don't know that the drug is doing it.
So do you think it's doing it in, like, incremental stages? Obviously not the first time you take Prozac. You're not going to...
I'll tell you. No, that's what they say. You're going to have a terrible reaction. It usually happens either when you first start the drug or when you stop the drug. When you decrease the dose or increase the dose or when you switch from one SSRI to another. That's the most dangerous time for these kind of behavioral changes.
So it really isn't a creeper drug. It's really more about just getting it into your system, and then once it's in your system,
right?
You just, it's hard to control in any case.
I think it's more like, yeah, when you start and stop, and then, you know, disrupting the neurotransmitters in your brain.
Mm-hmm.
So, but maybe just a person that's been on Prozac for 10 years and thinks they're doing fine, and that's okay. I'm not arguing with them. I'm saying, you know, okay, they're doing fine, although they probably have gained weight by now. That's another thing that's kind of sneaky about these drugs. When you first start them, you don't gain weight, or maybe even you lose a little, you know? But after you've been on them for 10 years, I bet you've gained at least 40 to 50 pounds.
And why is that?
Why is that? Now, that's a good, very good question, but I doubt that it's been studied. Who would sponsor a study like that? But why have you gained weight? It slows your metabolism in the end.
Mm-hmm.
When you start out, you become agitated, and, you know, you kind of speed it up, you know, and have a lot of energy. But as the years go on, when you're on the drug, your energy gets less and less. And so your metabolism starts to slow down. Your whole body really is kind of being, I guess, poisoned.
Well, why does it give it that reversed effect? It seems like at first, you know, it doesn't make you that docile, but later on it starts to make you more and more docile and less healthy. Well, why is it that it gives you this burst of energy in the very beginning, but later on it has these other effects?
Well, the burst of energy is probably, of course, from the serotonin itself, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But then later on, I don't really know how this works exactly. I just know that people that would tell me they'd been on Prozac for 12 years or still off for 14 years or something,
mm-hmm.
and that they just got lazier and lazier. They got kind of numbed out. And, you know, so it just made them heavier and slowed their metabolism.
Maybe your body acclimates to it. Who knows? It's a tragic story that people, again, not only young people are on this, but older people are on this and ruining their lives, ruining their relationships
with
their friends.
Well, I think the problem with American people is they can't understand if the word says antidepressant, they can't believe that drug is going to make them more depressed instead of less depressed. I mean, would you believe that an antibiotic for pneumonia was going to give you pneumonia instead of cure you of pneumonia?
Well,
we've never heard of that,
yes,
in the 40s or 50s or 60s, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so it's hard for people to comprehend this.
How can people support you?
Support me?
Yeah, support you and your website.
How can people support me?
Yeah, how can they get in touch with you? You got an email? I mean,
there's a contact page. Yeah, they can email to me.
Do you have a donations? Do you sell any products?
No, I don't. I'm doing this strictly as a volunteer.
Well, how long have you been involved in this? Because it's a pretty elaborate website.
Yeah, it is. I've been working on it since 1997.
Oh,
but
wow.
I didn't put it out on the World Wide Web until December of 2006.
So wait a minute, you worked on this, but you're telling me you worked on this almost a decade before you put it on the internet?
Right.
That's a story
because
in itself.
It is, because I had a message board and I was just sending out to different people, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But I was saving all the cases, and one day I looked up and I had over 1,000 cases. And I thought, boy, you know, people should know about this. And so there was a lady out in California who said, yeah, go ahead, and she got me a computer specialist. My husband is pretty good at it, too. But anyway, he set up this, when you go into the index, it's a database that's sortable, you know,
mm-hmm.
like first it will have the what column, and that means like what happened, like school shooting or arson, then the drug, which drug was it, you know, like Prozac or Zoloft, then the date when it happened, then where, like Texas or Louisiana, and then a little bit of additional. Oh, man.
Gotcha.
And so you can press them, though. See, they're, and then click on it, and then it'll sort it. Like, if you click on where, all of a sudden, it'll start with, I guess, Alabama.
Now, do you get a lot of people contacting you with new stories? I mean, even 3,000 seems like a big number, but I guarantee there's 30,000.
A lot of people contact me with stories, but the problem is we can't use personal stories. It has to be a story that appeared in the newspaper.
Well, that's what I mean. They're not giving you as many news tips?
They're giving me a few. I get some. Yeah.
I can get you news tips. Okay. Give me an email out here. I can get you as many news tips as you want. I get 100 a day.
The article has to say in it that the person was taking a medication for depression or an antidepressant or Prozac or Lexapro or Cymbalta or something.
Well, if you hear that, listeners, SSRIstories.com is where you send your stories about these serotonin reuptake inhibitors, Prozac, Paxil, Zoloft, and more. Thank you so much for joining us, Betty. It's Betty Henderson of SSRIstories.com.